Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Another side of the earth. Hey, actually, happy new year to everybody out there. And for all my guests, listeners who are listening presently, and of course, if you pick this off on the archive, happy new year to you. Again, welcome. This is Andrew Fetter at When Pigs Fly. And of course, that song, Drive, 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 is from Angie Matin's debut LP, Sudden Pain. Check that out, as well as her newly released Skeleton Arm LP. You can check it out at angiematson.com. I know you'll all love it. Again, I play a lot of her music, and I wouldn't be playing it if I thought it was crap. I like her music. Hey, what can I tell you? Anyway, I also want to thank... God, it seems like years keep on spinning faster and faster. It doesn't seem like time is irrelevant sometimes. I also want to thank all my listeners, you, and all my listeners from the past and those who have listened, even those listeners who are listening on my archives. I want to thank you all. And, of course, I want to thank all my past guests that have come on BBS Radio for my show, When Pigs Fly, in the last 5 years. And I can't believe it's almost 5 years, coming February. And like I said, thank you again. And all those out there, do feel free to check out andrewspirit.com. That's my newly released book about spirit. It deals with about going out of body. And I know those who are interested in astral projection and what happens when you go out and things like that. It is a very novel piece. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Anyway, today's show, I was thinking about for about 2 weeks now, actually longer than that, about 3 weeks. I was wanting to do this, so because I constantly see it, it's sort of like, now some of the things I'm going to talk about, I may have said in past shows or restated in these past shows. And I think it's sort of important because it goes into the nut of bolts of things with us as human beings or souls within these human embodiments. And it deals with walls and limitations. And I see, you know, how it's almost like a web or other walls, how they've been created upon us. And when this is created, not just from an individual standpoint, which is sort of pretty obvious, but to a societal standing as well throughout humanity, it seems that there's always walls and limitations constantly being projected, both from ourselves. We create these limitations and walls, both individually and societally, culturally, in different parts with our own thoughts and our own placements, which I'll get into. I mean, these walls and limitations have been created by ourselves, but these walls, in effect, in reality, again, and these limitations, in reality, are an illusion. Now, these limitations and walls are not only from you personally when you're born and you have developed these, or how many years you're in a particular area where you live, culturally or societal or whatever. These have been passed on actually from generation to generation too. You know, your mother or father or grandfather or whatever, you know, even clerics or whatever leadership passed this things, you know, don't do this, don't do that. It's going from generation to generation to generation, or you can't, always the can't things. Always you can't do this, or you're not allowed to do this, or you can't think like that, and constantly creating that illusionary wall or box. Now, this is not only going from generation to generation, it's been going on from lifetime to lifetime. I feel this is really important because it's actually, people keep on coming to looking at symptoms of humanity and symptoms of the individual psyche and symptoms, you know, even psychiatrists and things, and medicines and sciences. I can point to every situation around society or to more micro level to the individual soul itself. And it's very, very simple. They're always looking at symptoms as opposed to the disease. And the real disease, are the walls and limitations. I mean, it's really, you know, people make things more complex than they really are. And they're really more simplified. And because they're so simplified, they're actually very simple to take care of them. But it's, again, another issue of a fear, another wall, of actually facing up to those walls and breaking those illusions down. Because once you create an illusion, we often think they're reality. So we've projected our own reality, thinking it's real. We created our own magic trick. But in reality, again, these walls, these illusions of limitations have actually been the calamity of humanity. I mean, it's been created its own illusion from embracing these walls and limitations in itself, as also, as I mentioned, to the individual. I mean, it is in a real straight point. It is actually an illusion. Again, I keep on reiterating that it's an illusion. People contend that they aren't, but in the universe, I mean, in reality, there really aren't limitations. Things aren't, the universe isn't exactly finite. So if it's not finite, and things in reality in the universe are infinite, then therefore everything is without walls or limitations. This includes thoughts, things, processes, actions. There's always things that can be done around things. There's always ways of learning new things. That's what I was saying to you. There's always broadening somebody yourself. Again, that is breaking down these walls because we've created walls and just we have to dissolve those walls. Sometimes it's a slow process. Sometimes in reality, though, we can actually do that almost immediately just because these walls are perception that we've created. We've created in our own perception, which is a thought, and perceptions is often created by our experiences, our frequencies at this moment, because that's what we're able to see. We assume is what is reality, when in reality it isn't. It's based upon our frequency. Now, perception and identification is what how we identify certain things. We label things, we quantify things is by our perception. Sometimes when we quantify things, we actually literally, by labeling something, we're limiting that issue. That's why I try to, as best as possible, I know we have to do in certain instances, use certain words and names But I try to do it in expressing a way, sometimes it's metaphors. But these metaphors are not to take them for a literal, but for an explanation of the circumstance. You know, you realize what things are, then you realize things are constant movement, constant things. So it's approximations where things are. So this is like the same thing. There are no limitations since there's nothing standing still. There's atoms don't stand still. Even though if you're standing still, you think you're standing still, but you're not, because things are changing, moving at constant speed. So in reality, again, since there's constant movement, things are changing. And even in the circumstance, there's no limitations. We have limitations in our own vocabulary right now because I'm expressing these to you in words. We've created an expression so you can understand what I'm saying to you. But even as you're perceiving that, if you would hear me, see me, my face, for example, you might look at my face and perceive new things, how I'm expressing, what tone of voice I'm using, where's my hand movements, another perception. These come into perspective of what you think I'm trying to explain to you. If I was laughing right now as I was telling you, you would think I was not being serious. If I was picking my nose and scratching my ass, you would think, well, what the hell is this guy's problem? Why is he saying it? See, it depends on what you see in perceiving the identification of my words. Again, that's limiting ourselves. So what I'm explaining to you, this is as best as possible. It's in this limited form of expression because we've allowed ourselves to limit this to us. But again, in communication, even in communication, we have many outlets that we've limited ourselves, but we can open those up. People talk of those like psychic, reading one another. There's many outlets of communication other than what we think there are. As your vibration, your frequency increase, of course, you'll be able to see that and understand that and perceive that. Again, that's perceive of limitations. Our perception limits ourselves. So, now here's an example that often it's pretty self-expressed within what our limitations. I mean, it's really straight up in our society. You can see within like a... in the Western world, and when I talk or work in the Western, I'm also including the Middle Eastern areas, how limitations within religion, for example. Most religions of the West especially, frankly, even the East too, now I think of it, produce a limitation of thought. And now I'm talking about the spiritual core of certain things and within dogma of a religion, talking about organized religion in itself, and a lot of things that are expressed from years and years and years of it. Limitation in religion as far as placing walls, identification of the God idea, or what God is, for example, a separate thing, limiting you, yourself, separating yourself, identifying your relationship with God or how you perceive, limiting to your understanding that there's like a son of God if you're a Christian, limiting yourself if you're a Muslim, looking at it from only perspective that it's only the Allah way as you see it or the highway approach, or have the limitation that you have to do certain things in order to achieve that thing, whether it's a fear of God that you have to practice certain things, pray so many days a week, dress a certain way, cover your shoulders, cover your head. All these things are a form of limiting yourself. It's purposely to limit your way of your ability to express yourself and limiting yourself to gain what is real and real truth. These religions in reality have not been an opening door of your soul or spirit to the context of what God or the universe actually is, but actually opposite. It has actually been to put a wall between your own spiritual self and what is real. This is why it's caused a lot of dilemma when people get into the spiritual context. They have to literally go blind faith. That's what they keep on telling you. Go, oh, you have to have blind faith. Because having blind faith is because they don't, it's to believe in having faith in your own illusion. without any reality to that illusion. And by limiting yourself, it's basically keeping you in control, which I'll explain later. So within society, they've used it. Within religion, for example, sex, for example, some have utilized sex as being, let's say, dirty, unnatural, unclean, perverted, something bad. Any context of sexuality. Even a sexuality, if somebody looks at a woman and let's say she's looking very beautiful or sexual, they will say, oh, well, now you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about sex. See, they've already put a wall in your brain that sex isn't part of God or the universe. Well, if it wasn't, then why is it there? You can't separate the two when they're all part of the same. Get it? So if God is everything, then God is part of the sex, right? So, but they're separating. They're creating a new wall. And they're creating a wall to make you think that something's bad or something's guilty of it. Something's dirty. Often people think being pure is being non-sexual. And this is kind of less like from whether it's abstaining from sex, from being non-sexual, not expressing your sexuality, not being, and yet sexuality in reality, is very much expressive of what the human soul is. Your sexuality is the relationship of your creativeness. It opens up doors to your creativity, to your understanding. You would think of it because sex is part of the same chakra of creating manifestation of certain elements. A child is created and born. But your sexuality has to reflect to look at the songs and the poems and things that are written or circling around sex. This is not a coincidence that so much has been artfully created around sex, because sex is part of the human species of creation. So it's basically identification. It's opening things up. So to deny that and put those limitations is a way of controlling your way of creating. Because if you start learning how to create just on that need, just think of other manifestations that you could do. It's a way to limit your thinking consciousness of manifesting for your own self, to think for yourself, to create for yourself, to express yourself. So that way of sexuality is being limited. This is the way that it's done within religion. I mean, I can point to every door to diminish, for example, a woman. I'm working with, like, on Islam, where they cover her. She covers her hair, covers her arm, and she may even be all willful, like, this is great because it's a thing to do, because she's been taught to limit herself. She feels good about limiting herself because she's been taught that it's okay to be second in society or limited in the society, that seeing her hair is something bad. Something about her is evil or not good or wicked or unclean or unpure, or only her husband should see because, God forbid, somebody else saw it. See, that's a limitation. It's a limitation of herself and its expression. And this is not just in Islam, but you can see in the course of other organized religions, whether it's Judaic or Christian, they have their sexual innuendos. They'll have them get to the point of sexual identification, whether a person is heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, transsexual. They'll place walls around that and identifications. Yet, even though in an open society, people are slowly opening up to that understanding and having tolerance to it, there is still that thing toward it in society. I mean, we have that today. But where does that come from? It's because of not allowing the individual to express their sexuality, how it is, feel comfortable. I'm not saying to go out and being a pedophile or something like expressing your sexuality, because that's actually doing something malicious to another person. It's not expressing it. That's like having a going out and doing murder or something like that. That's a little bit different standard. What I'm talking about expressing is how expressing yourself in a positive way without being anybody really being victimized in a sense. So Now, the soul in reality, example, is often looked to, people try to identify, even within science, to limit it what it is. I remember in scientists, you ask them, okay, if you ask some non, because there's two different frames of scientists, science who expand into new understandings of quantum physics, and scientists who haven't even gotten to there, which I see a lot, that they look at the soul as like, okay, what's the soul? Well, it's basically a chemical reaction within the brain. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. Where's the soul? They don't look at there as actual soul. Yet now in science, they're actually able to quantify that there is actually a soul, that there's actually a thought pattern to create waves. These things are showing more and more. There's less, we've been limiting ourselves on understandings of the soul. Why we've limited ourselves? Again, it is from past theologies, from religion and on. And these have been done purposely through religion and philosophically and through governments, through cultural aspects. They've been consistently utilized to limit your understanding of yourself. That's why most people, I mean, they go through a whole lifetime of not even understanding who the hell they are. They'll go into the grave and not understanding who and what they really are in retrospect. Because you really don't know who you are. You sort of understand who you are. You have an identification, a feeling of what you're all about with your soul. Once you start having that understanding, you will go without limits. Because when you come into reality of that, what your soul is, then you realize in reality how the soul is so much connected from more things than it actually is. So you're not limiting it. But see, most people have been limited in their understandings of the soul. Therefore, the soul has been sort of like put in a little Coke bottle or a Pepsi bottle, as I will say, and often will say. And in science itself, I mean, we've had our limitations of science. We've constantly limited ourselves to the understandings, the utilizations within our science. We've had, within our science, limitations of our understandings because we limit ourselves on our approach. I'll give you a perfect example. You know, I have even a past guest who was on this show, astrophysicist, and I said to him point blank, and he didn't know how even how to answer me when I asked him that. I says, listen, if the universe is in retrospect infinite, and you go beyond all things are infinite, right? So he concurred, everything's infinite. Well, I'm not even going to the esoteric part of being everything is beyond the infinite. But let's say, just say everything's infinite in reality. You can never go, what's the smallest, small, and the deepest, the deepest, deepest, how big is big, how, and, you know, in the physics, in reality, in quantum physics, there's a blur between even what energy is. I mean, is it matter or is it a wavelength? Or is it both? Or is it more than just even that? Because if we're here, we are eliminating that itself. So I'm saying within the methodologies of what science utilizes, they utilize finite ways of understanding and finite ways of methodology for determining an experiment. So how can you apply a finite idea of methods, a finite mathematical approach toward an aspect that's infinite? That would be like trying to figure out what water is by using a cup. If I took a cup and just put water in it, then I only know that bit of water that's in the cup. Suppose I put, there's a in the water, and on one side of the water, it's a big old lake, right? And part of the lake is really dirty, and the other part is really clean. And that part of the lake, I just took a cup, and I picked the cup with that little sample of water of where it was clean. I would assume, because my methodology is now finite, that the whole lake is actually clean, when in reality, we've only taken a piece of the lake because we've only did it in a finite way of approach to the universe. This is the same way what I'm talking about. Now, if somebody was to take a whole bunch of samples of different areas within Lake, they would assume those areas are exactly the same by methods, but that could be an illusion itself. Maybe the lake that they're taking cups of has a new bottom part of it. Maybe the lake actually is hooked up to another lake. You know, there's like, you know, a connection to underground water thing, and there's another lake next to it. Maybe that lake is connected to the ocean or to a river. See, it keeps on going, so because it's been limited. And that's what I'm saying the problem with science. It utilizes limiting factors. I mean, when we do explorations, we're breaking open those limitations. When people go into they call new frontiers, it's opening doors. And what happens when we break these doors and find new sciences and, you know, break the old ways of thinking of a way? We find wisdom. You know, there's a famous quote that I believe Bernard Shaw had said. And it's sort of funny because I saw this a while back and I go, wow, it is so true. George Bernard Shaw had once said, all great truths begin with blasphemies. And I was thinking about that. I was saying, God, you know, this really comes to a pattern. It's the same thing, you know, why are everything blasphemous? Blasphemy is basically telling you, wait, you can't say this, and therefore I want to put a limitation on what you can say or think. Get it? Yet, in reality, those blasphemies are the things that are breaking walls down so that you can see the reality of what is truth, and the truth is the reality of things have no walls. I mean, we limit ourselves by creating walls all the time. And what does it accomplish? By limiting ourselves and creating these walls, it limits our growth. It limits our ability to raise one's frequency, which is to healing. It limits our ability to even love. It limits to our ability to even gain new wisdom and understanding. I mean, what else does limitation and creating these walls does? Within each and every single culture, within each and every organized religion, what is actual result? Do you think there's actual spiritual growth within religion? Do you really think so, with all these limitations and walls? Or is it in reality a spiritual stagnation or worse, leading to a more spiritual decay? Because in reality, I don't care if you're talking from Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism even, and Hinduism, they all have created limitations. They have their do's and don't do's. These are the rules. These are the walls. This is the way you have to think. And they've already limited your soul in certain perspectives by telling you what your soul is. Now, I'm telling you things what I see in a situation. But I'm telling you right now, even my words, because I don't say these things out of limitations, I say open your eyes and think for yourself. What am I doing when I'm saying that? I'm saying thinking for yourself is breaking down a wall, not limiting yourself. And by the way, what is spiritual decay? If your spirit isn't really growing because it's been walled up, told what to do and not to do, and you're put in it's put in a thing. Spiritual decay is where the only thing you rely on is hope. And what is real hope? Hope is really hollow. There is no such thing as hope. Hope is in terms of its hollowness in itself. I mean, it's like hope is as hollow as light in a tunnel, likened to a rabbit chasing after a carrot. It's an illusion. It's like telling you and your little hamster on the little treadmill, and you're going to get this little thing if you run a little faster. So you keep on running faster and faster, but you never get there. You never get there. I mean, you can do all the kuma and all the stuff and all the praying and all the this and all of that. You may wall yourself up. You may never be asexual or be a pious as a nun or a priest. You may think you're a mullah, a rabbi, or a minister. You may be the most valuable. You may be a swami even. I think you're all closed up. I'm limiting all these things. You may fast a million ways and do all these methodologies. And doing them not because you're really trying to connect to things, but doing them because the do's and don'ts. By creating limiting your soul. Pulling your soul in one spot as opposed to filling your soul with all things. Limiting yourself. And what does this do? Where is one's own self and self-love in these situations? It gets diminished by religion and these theologies. That's what it does. Why it keeps on telling you, love God. Love this. Love God. If you're loving God, God is in you. God is all around you, right? If you believe God is in every aspect. If the universe is absolute God, how can you tell that, like, love is something separate? And why would you put a wall in diminishing your self-worth, telling you have something evil or ugly about you? Like your sexuality or the way you eat or what you do. And what happens when that's your self-worth is diminished and your love is diminished? Where's one's own dreams? What happens to those? You know, the dreams remain just that, a dream? In most peoples around the world, that's what it remains, just a dream. It doesn't become an accomplishment. It doesn't look to something a reality. And even when they reach that dream, they have that sense of accomplishment and happiness. But many times because they fall within the pattern of reaching that dream of, let's say, a career, and reaching that career that they wanted so bad or whatever, then when they reach it, have they really reached their spiritual understandings of themselves? Getting there. Have they really connected with them? Have they really removed any walls or hurdles? They went along a road that has been laid down, they were told to go by. There may have been other roads. Or what about the dreams of people who have a dream to be something, and for some reason, the universe says, uh-uh. They're cut down on that dream for a reason. They're not allowed, the universe doesn't allow them to get to where they dream to be, because the universe maybe is teaching that because you're thinking of limiting yourself to one road, that possibly that dream you think you're going to isn't the dream that you really are supposed to go to. Maybe that's not what your destiny is. Because we limit ourselves on what we think even our dreams are. Perhaps. Limitation in creating walls. What does it do, really? What does it do to abundance? It actually limits it. Think about it. Abundance is the ability to do what you need to do at the time you need to do it. And I quote Bashar. That's his famous quote, but I love it so much because it's really very poignant to the T. Abundance is the ability to do what you need to do at the time you need to do it. So, if you limit yourself and place illusionary walls, then what does the universe give you for that? You've just created your own manifestation of walls and limitations. So often you'll wonder why. Just why did you walk into a wall? How come I didn't get there? I was trying to be this. I wanted to do that. Well, hello, duh. You've created your own manifestations. Often people, you heard probably the words self-destructive or fear of success. Fear of success. Self-destructive. Isn't that our society, the fear of success? In humanity, and really, because we limit ourselves. Just think about that in the back of your mind. That's limiting, because we've limited ourselves to succeed. We limit ourselves to fear. Fear is, by the way, an illusion of limitation, a created wall. So what does it do? I mean, what are these, all these things by creating and limiting ourselves? What might one say in life? That there is always limitation of the walls? For example, I remember I did an interview with somebody a while back, and it was for a film. And I remember, and I didn't put it in the part of the film because it really didn't have nothing to do, but it was really interesting. And he was telling me how his father, and I didn't really want to interject. I just let him tell his thing, but he told me how his father says, you know, there are limitations in life. This man was supposed to be a holy man, right? He tells his son this. For example, there's a tree stump. It's stuck in the ground. It's a big tree stump stuck in the ground. Go ahead and try to pull it up from the ground. What would happen? And the guy said, well, you can't because he's limited. Oh, really now? See, he's actually self-limited himself by thinking within the box. Now, think of I was thinking in my mind, and I didn't want to say anything because, I respect. At the time, I didn't feel it was pertinent because I was actually doing an interview for a movie. What if you didn't just limit yourself, I was thinking, and you got up over yourself a tractor or a backhoe or some machine device, tied it up and pulled the sucker out? Oh, wow. You could actually do that, couldn't you? That's thinking outside the box. People would say, oh, wow, that's genius. You know, there's a little, I had this thing done when I was a kid, and they have like, I think, 9 dots, and they're supposed to do so many lines across it. It's one of these psychological tests. And the teacher would have me do it, for example. This is when I was a kid. And they kept on saying, wow, you amazingly. And they actually did all these tests to skip me, and they, whatever IQ, whatever they had, and whatever. So I actually skipped a whole grade, tell you. Back, I never really went to 6th grade. I skipped from 5th to 7th grade. And what amazed me, what I was thinking about back then is, they didn't know back then, but I was also dyslexic. So being dyslexic, you see things a little bit more spatially. A different way of looking things. It's a way of, you have to, in order to re-coordinate yourself. So I look at things more spatially, so I naturally see outside of, I don't see, when I see like lines, I actually can see more a broad way of looking at it, naturally. So, in circumstance, that's not limiting myself in that one little box. I'm thinking outside the box. So in the same circumstances, getting in the machine or the backhoe or the tractor to yank out that tree stump, that would be thinking outside the box and not limiting myself. As the person thinking, oh, I can't pull it out because I physically can't pull it out. The guy might say, wow, that's genius or a smartass. Is it really a smartass or just thinking outside the box? Not limiting yourself. Opening up, dissolving those walls. So again, what does limitation in creating these walls actually really do? I mean, in terms of it, I just mentioned a cognitive way of thinking outside the box. You know, you might think of it as that terms. But it has a lot more to do with your spiritual self, which also translates to your physical self. But then you might ask, what are the walls of illnesses and disease? I mean, isn't that in reality a physical limitation? You know, when somebody gets sick, they're sick. But is it? There are limitations to our illnesses and what we think of our methods. And we've been conformed in a standard that we think we're limited in our ways to heal ourselves. We have many abilities to heal ourselves that we haven't even tapped into. Some of them we slightly do. Sometimes we're afraid of touching those things. Some things that we actually do have the abilities we're often prevented from for, let's say, monetary reasons, because either they don't have the health care or perhaps certain industries don't want to put that out because it might cause them to lose some profit or control the monetaries. Or they actually do want people to die. You know, there's all these people, conspiratorial ideologies, hypothetical or whatever. But whatever it is, You know, all in hypothetical, what has our science really done? I mean, it's limited ourselves, as well as our society's self-induced financial restraints to limit and create walls, for example, for healing cancer. I mean, there are ways to cure cancer. I mean, there's instances of people who've actually knew the way to heal cancer or even prevent from getting cancer. And is that because of financial restraints? Societal restraints? Scientific restraints and approaches? Restraints are limitations, walls that we've self-induced upon ourselves. Now, there are finding certain things. Oh, these are sudden breakthroughs and breakthroughs. Think about what those breakthroughs are. They're breakthroughs that went beyond the walls. And some of those breakthroughs are pick-and-choose breakthroughs. Some of them are, wow, we don't want to know that. You know, all about free energy. We pick and choose. We actually do have the ability to have free energy, for example. So if we have free energy, why isn't it being implemented? It's pick and choose because we have established within our culture and society a limited process of monetary system to control you, the human species, humanity, to be, which I'll get into, perpetual indebtedness, which is slavery. Which is what is our monetary system, which affects our limiting ourselves again. And what is really the monetary system but an illusionary wall to create and ensure perpetual debt? Or more correctly, like I had said, enslavement. I mean, you would say, but perhaps a monetary system is necessary. Again, you have created a wall and a self-limiting factor. Is it really necessary? Do we really have to have a monetary system? Think about it. Do you really think we have to play Monopoly and have a Monopoly board game? That's really what it is. If you all played Monopoly, it's a game that's created to limit certain things. And what a Monopoly board does is centralize what it is, monopolizing. And it's sort of funny, by the way, that game that was made, Monopoly, it's the irony is that it was created by a couple guys who had lost everything because of the Depression. So they sat around and created a game because they lost all their property and they were in a recession. You know, the Great Depression. That's when that was created, the irony of it. So think about it. I mean, humanity on a whole have self-limited itself. I mean, it's basically like we keep tripping over our own 2 feet by limiting ourselves. So again, what does limiting and creating walls, what does it do for us? I mean, in the spiritual context of what many would say, the universe and its concept is, and now I'm going to tell you in reality of this, and it may sound Nietzsche-like, and I'm trying not to be as much Nietzsche-like. Some people, God, you get so detailed, so... Whoa, like a plane just flew over my head. I don't understand what the hell you're saying. So I'm trying to do as less scientific, less out there as possible. And less, Nietzsche-like, someone would have said to me. Anyway, but in our reality, in our existence, the universe, like I had said, right, is without limitations. Space. Where does it end? Where does it begin? What is space? How far is the smallest atom? Again, with even the atom, there's space. You know, and what is space? Space is without limitations. And here's something that you probably don't realize. I mean, you think your body, you see your illusion because you have light reflecting the atoms, so you see a physical body. But in reality, your atoms, I'm just talking the atoms now, is made up of 99.9% space, where you have this where are the damn electrons flying around? We don't know where they're going. We have to use calculated expressions of maybe they're somewhere in this area, but they could be over here or could be there. They use what they call logarithms, proximalizing As I think I made that word up, trying to gain a value of where they possibly be. Possibly be. As I can't pinpoint. Again, see, no walls. And that's the methodology, by the way, in science we should approach. We utilize methodologies of approximations of things and looking at things in an infinite capacity. We'd actually go really, really further in our sciences and understandings. I mean, we'd really leap bounds, but that would have problems with our own culture because then our science would be separate from what people think. And if science met with our own thinking and our cultural perspectives, we'd have free energy. We wouldn't have the country systems, the monetary systems at all. Probably at our resource system. We'd probably have a lot more self-esteem, a lot more self-worth. I mean, go on and on and on. Sounds sort of like utopia society, but, you know, be in that direction. It'd be sort of Star Trek-y, like, maybe. Anyway, what is space? Like I said, it has no end. And we don't even know where it does it, and we don't even know what it is because it's without end, and there's no beginning. I mean, we, and even today's science, think of terms of what they see as experience from, like I said before, in a finite capacity. What do they use? Hypothesis, experiment, conclusion. And they use, they'll utilize finite methods. Yeah, like I said before, Hello, the universe is infinite. How the hell are you using limiting factors to make your decision? I mean, this is why there's been quantum theories even showing how the person performing the experiment can subconsciously influence the results of the experiment. Do you ever think about that? Wow, that's a new one. So, limiting our understanding of our universe is the opposite from gaining understanding and wisdom. Why would we want to limit ourselves from understanding? That's like why I say theology and religions. You're wanting to limit your understanding of our universe. You want to limit yourself of really truly understanding yourself, your soul, and God as how you perceive God to be. I mean, think about, here's another reality. And this is what it's going to be pretty bizarre. And this is a situation of like what we really know of a universe at this present time. I mean, people, we don't even have a clue of what really dark matter is or dark energy is. We just know it's out there somewhere. We don't even have any understanding of it because we think in terms of our limitations. We know it's there, like I said, but we don't know how to perceive it because we limited our perceptions of understanding. How can we perceive something we don't know? We know it's somewhere there. We like almost like painting ourselves into a corner with our logic-based finite ideas and perspectives, when in reality, there are no walls or limitations in our universe. I mean, what I mentioned is our present understanding of the universe, in scientific terms, is 5%. Since the universe, we assume now, is made up of 95% dark matter and energy. That's 5, and that's from, by the way, a well-known few scientists have, you know, admitted to. We don't know 95% of our universe. We only know 5%, so we know nothing. What's 5%? That's if we know 5%. And why do we only know that? Because we walk around with walls and blinders around ourselves. I mean, what is our soul? Where does it start? Where does it end? What's the meaning of life? Think about it. I mean, what is life even in the biological sense? I remember I had a doctor. I said to him because I thought I had a cold or a virus, and he got, well, you know, those viruses, it's not actually alive. I turned to him, what the hell, what is it? I'm like, look at, what is alive then? Biologically, by the way, and I know from when you're studying back in the day, 25 years ago, even then, they said the virus was cause a blur in the biological definition of life. Because what is a virus? It's like, you can stick it, like, it's like a chemical, but you can stick it in a jar. But then when it's activated, voila, it's alive based upon its definitions, what we think of life, and it consumes and reproduces, acting as if it's life again. And then, like life, it can be killed. So what is life? It's by our definition of what life is. So is it living or dying or both? When I said this, the doctor rolled his eye like, oh, what's a fact? I said, no, dude, you don't know shit. I just rolled my eyes. I can't. And then, but this is how doctors even, because in doctors, they're taught with limitations. They build their own walls and limitations when they make, and this is our problem, they're limiting our factors in our medicines today. I mean, on our illnesses, how they diagnose. They've limited itself. I mean, look at the leap and strides it had to do with, I remember acupuncture, I remember 20 years ago, wow, they look at that as bizarre. Now they actually admit their meridians. And even if you talk to doctors today, medical doctors, and you tell them about meridians and electrons and pulses and even auric fields around a body, they laugh at you maybe. Because they put limitations of understandings of the realities of our souls and our body. Some are more open and some aren't, but most generally aren't. So, again, I mean, I say, like, now, many, like I said, have made great strides, and we've had made strides in science. And I say, what kind of strides? I mean, only when do they occur? They occur when what? When we think outside the box, when we move walls or limitations. Now, this is the same for our own spiritual growth. And here, by the way, is another reality. But before I go on, and I said this in the prior shows, and I'll reiterate, because it's a way of having a truthful understanding of the universe. And many people there will go, wow, this sounds too blasphemous, too crazy. But anyway, it is what it is, the reality. There's nothing, the universe is nothing by chance except or free will, of course, choice. The universe is absolutely perfect the way it is. The way the atoms, the universe, energies, what we even 5% that we know. Things are moving around. I mean, why do you think of how we hold ourselves together, how it conforms, what we think is gravity, the earth rotating around, the sun. I mean, if we didn't have a sun, we wouldn't be here, right? I mean, everything's perfect. You right? Everything's absolutely perfect. But in reality, if you step back, there is really no such thing as good or bad or dark or light. Only what we perceive is good and bad and dark and evil. Because, see, our own morality is based upon our perceptions. And it's subject to our experiences as well. But if you think in the reality of the universe, everything's as in itself, on its own perspective, what is good and bad. I mean, suffering itself, feeling of the victim is a matter of the one suffering. The same is good and bad. I'm going to give you an example. A bacteria is on your leg, eating away on your leg. It's eating its way. And this bacteria to you or me might think it's bad or evil. But the bacteria thinks, wow, man, I'm good. I'm getting some food out of I'm eating your tissue. I'm eating some of these cells. Now let's say a doctor comes along and gives you an antibiotic to kill it. In the perspective of the bacteria, the doctor's evil, an evil person because it's trying to hurt it. The antibiotic in its perspective is going to hurt it, kill it. So in the perspective of the bacteria, you're the bad person for trying to kill it. He's just trying to eat your leg. Again, it's all in one perspective. If some crazy, I'm not saying aliens are like this, but let's say there was an alien, you know, like War of the Worlds, that came down, you know, from the movie, and, you know, they look like lizards or some crazy, and they had sharp teeth, and they start eating us up like we're just food. We think those people are evil, right? But we're just food for them. What does the pig think of you when you're beating it over the head and eating it? That you're so loving and enjoying? What are the plant that you stick your mouth and you bite down it for, even a vegan? In their the plant's perspective, you're evil. See, it's all in one's perspective. So I don't want to go on into the tangent, but the same thing has to be applied to when you think of the Illuminati, the so-called Illuminati. And think how what they're doing, what is right. Maybe they think maybe the greed is good to them and power is good to them. Maybe to them, doing those chemtrails is really good to them. And it's all a matter of context and perspective and what the walls and the limitations take to and remove, by the way, and by making yourself, placing yourself into a heretic situation, as they would call it, a heretic way of thinking, without walls and limitations, is what takes us to a larger understanding. I mean, look at Einstein, Bohm, Newton, Jesus, Lao Tzu. What were they doing? Moses. They're all thinking, you, Muhammad, they're all thinking outside the box. Or at least I think they were thinking out of the box. I mean, most great artists, scientists, what do they do? And you go, wow, what an amazing idea. Wow, look what they found. What an amazing thinking outside the box, without walls, without limitations. So some would say these are without boundaries. Yet, we seem to place walls about them. I mean, the universe, as I mentioned, the spirit, the souls, the chakras, even love, thoughts, creating, learning, experiencing, life, even death. If having the understanding that there are no walls and limitations, then why do we place them amongst ourselves? Between each other, from people to people, between humanity to earth, between humanity and the universe. If the universe in reality, as it is without walls and limitations, then God cannot have walls and limitations as well. Since God and the universe, the creator and the creation are one and the same, have no beginning and no end, and is just beyond or beyond any infinite means, is the understanding, and no limitations, then why do we put and create walls and limitations? Limiting ourselves and creating walls is the opposite of our universe, opposite of our reality. And why do we only create, why do we continue to create these? Why is this illusion of these walls exist in limitations? And I don't want to go extend into it, but there is a functional why. Apologize, sir. The Dark Side of Christianity, there was a book mentioned, I mentioned in a past show, and it's not to stab at Christianity, it just gives you an understanding, a general perspective in Western society, but this also applies even in Islam itself, because it follows sort of the same perspective, and somewhere down the line also within many aspects within Judaism or what the rabbis have made within their clerics. So all clerics, all the religions have done it, even Hinduism do it a way, but I'm just referring to this situation. I had mentioned in the past show the idea, understanding of what really Lucifer, which came out from a Roman Christianity, from the original Christianity, which was actually from the Christianity of Jesus. There was no such thing as a Lucifer, and his original Christianity was also called esoteric agnostic. But why was Lucifer created by Constantine's Christianity? To create an illusion, to build a wall, to create a belief that you are separated, a wall separating you from nature. And nature being what? Lucifer. Lucifer was actually, God of nature, being the Roman God of nature, was originally Pan. So they just flipped the name around. They also used the name Lucifer because it was carrying a light. And they created a whole thing out of that. So there's a half man, half goat, and creating walls to separate you from God. It's just to separate you, creating a separation from your soul, from the universe. It was a method of creating a new limitation. I mean, it is also within the Old Testament. There are limitations. Like, God, first of all, is never referred as a he or a she throughout the Old Testament, especially in the first five books in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. But it's often referred to God as one, you're one, you're one with the universe, Echad, you're Biyahad, you're together with God, God is everything. So why do we have a sudden assumption of God that he, she will be angry And there's and then we have personifications of God. And we find this personification and limitations throughout the Quran as well. Yet Muslims will say Allah is in everything, yet and without limitation, yet they limit themselves, create walls, calling others infidels, non-believers, dividing themselves, putting limitations on their women, on themselves, on each other, on their own families, the Hamula, that family, this family, the Shiite, the Sunni. I mean, they have limitations. They create laws between themselves, from Jews to Christians to Buddhists, Hindus, etc. This is self-promoted within the theology because they produce limitations, walls. And these were created in these walls, so-called religions, for absolutely no benefit for your spiritual well-being. There is absolutely no spiritual reality within these walls and limitations that are placed. And the veils are placed over faces and heads and told that you do this or do that, but don't do this and don't do that. More walls and more relations go into effect. To make what? To make you believe in an illusion, that the universe has walls and limitations. To literally squish your souls, your spirit, into a Coke bottle. To be used and then consumed when they need it. To bow down with your head, saying as some cleric understands more than you, limiting your own perspective, creating the walls and limitation of your perspectives that what? What are you? Limited and walled in. Look at your society. Look at your humanity. There are borders. You have the feeling that you actually own land. In reality, you do not own land. Earthquake explodes your house underneath you. No, you don't own land. A volcano happens. You don't own that land. That's what Earth keeps on reminding us, by the way. All these events happen. Some call us this a prison planet. And what they're inferring is that there are walls. That we've actually created our walls. You think Bloods and Crips? Look what's going around the world. They let people laugh about gang bangers and stuff. But in reality, what's in the difference? Blacks versus whites, Muslims and Jews, Anglos, Mexicans, and et cetera, et cetera. This against them. This is, by the way, not a disease. All these things that you see these happening around the world, these are the symptoms. Or more correctly, the symptoms of the disease. And the disease is your illusion. Illusion that there are walls and limitations. You think there is a wall between you and Earth? You think there's a wall between you and the universe? You think, yet in reality, the universe and the Earth are telling you every second, every moment, every millimeter, what is the matter and how to fix it. But you are not listening because you have chosen to close your eyes. Because you've been told not to listen, to put a wall and limit yourselves. We have limited ourselves by creating walls, as I mentioned, with the universe. We have limited ourselves in understandings of our souls. We have limited ourselves from understanding about chakras. You have been limited understanding of your dreams. You have limited of what is out of body, astral projection. You have been limited of what your thoughts and creating and ability to manifest. It's caused you to limit your ability to learn, your ability to experience life, and understand the life, the death, the life, one lifetime, the next. So what I say to you, humanity, and some have said humanity needs to wake up. No, humanity does not need to wake up. It needs to listen. You need to listen. Not wake up. You need to listen and tear down this wall, as Reagan had once said. But I ain't talking no wall of totalitarianism of some communist country. I'm talking about the totalitarianism that has been placed upon your soul and spirit because there is a wall that is around you. A limiting wall has been put around you from generation to generation that you have taken from one lifetime to another. I say to you, to humanity, tear down this wall. I say to you, tear down this wall by simply opening your eyes, opening your soul's eyes and ears, and listen to the universe. see that now your limitations and that in the reality you are free souls, free to decide and think for yourselves. So I say again, tear down these walls, humanity. There are no more walls, no more limitations. You have freedom to choose, freedom to think for yourself, freedom to create, freedom to learn, freedom to enjoy, freedom to experience, and most of all, freedom to love without the limitations, free to love without walls, free to love without conditions, meaning loving unconditionally. For we are all connected to the universe, connected to Earth, and connected to each other. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening. Again, Happy New Year. I wish you all with unlimited abundance, joy, prosperity, and of course, love. God bless you all. Love and light. And have, again, Happy New Year. And thank you for listening.